If you're a longtime listener of On Film, my guest today needs no introduction, but he'll get one anyway. He's one of El Paso's leading film historians. He's an educator, a writer, an archivist, a publisher, a collector, and host. Jay Duncan is the director of the Sunset Film Society, which screens classic films at the International Museum of Art each Saturday at 2 p.m. in central El Paso. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. Jay is here to talk to me today about his June programming slate, which includes a taste of summer films from the 70s and 80s. And with that, I'd like to welcome Jay Duncan to On Film.
Thank you so much, Kyle. It's a pleasure being here.
So let's get to it. So let's talk a little bit about the Sunset Film Society. What is it and why did you start it?
Well, it goes back to 2013 as far as the incarnation of the Sunset Film Society. Although I've been doing this off and on since the mid-70s, this was a way to actually develop a society where like-minded people and hopefully new people coming in that would like to become like-minded, could enjoy films and discuss the pros and cons and the background behind them. And we started in 2013 in Sunset Heights at the old Hickson House of the famed jeweler of the period. It was built in 1910, thereabout. And it just developed into where we are now at the International Museum of Art on a weekly basis. And so there seems to be a love of film in El Paso, as evidenced by the Plaza Classic each year. And so this is an opportunity to go not as long without that fix, you know, once a year at the Plaza every August with classic films. Sometimes they're modern classics. Sometimes they're older films.
Mm. And this batch of films, it's an older batch of films, but it's also very particular to a season in the year, and it's the summer film. So can you break down why you chose these films for June?
Sure. And although, you know, summer doesn't officially begin until the 21st of June, we thought we'd just, and you know, I mean, it's supposed to get to 92 tomorrow,
I think,
on Sunday,
you
know. So so I think summer is officially here, and so I'm just calling it Beat the Summer Heat and come to the comfort of the International Museum of Art's auditorium and enjoy films representing music from the 50s and 60s. And, you know, among these five films, you know, there'll be at least three, I know, well, four to me, that really stand out as well-known. Mm-hmm. One maybe not so much, but deserves to be seen, I think.
Cult status for sure.
Yeah. And so it's an opportunity to not only see the movies that feature the original tracks, but if you come at 1:30 and the movies start at 2, you'll be able to see the original television appearances by a lot of these featured artists on the big screen.
Yeah. So these titles are American Graffiti, Jaws, Grease, Weekend at Bernie's, and Stand By Me. And the first one today is American Graffiti.
Right.
Which is kind of the original American teen film.
It is.
So why did you lead off with this one?
Well, I tend to do things chronologically, for one thing, and it's the oldest of the five. But more importantly, I think like to have a sucker punch opening, sucker punch closing, you know, and then hopefully you'll attract the people to come into the first film to mm-hmm. see what's coming up each week thereafter. Yeah. And American Graffiti is notable, I think, in many, many ways, not the least of which introduced a raft of future stars and star directors in the mm-hmm. case of Ronnie Howard or Ron Howard. But it also represents George Lucas' really first foray into a colossal hit, mm-hmm. you know, coming off of THX 1138, yep. which was seen by curiosity seekers mainly more than mass audiences. Mm-hmm. And it also is notable, I think, for featuring 41 original tracks in the storytelling process, heard on the radio and so forth, you know, by the various characters, which had not been done before. So I think it's important to kind of kick it off with that and then, of course, leading into other films set during the summer.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about these films is that they sometimes connect to sort of the contemporary films that are out there in release now.
Yeah.
And the one, when I see American Graffiti, I think the current release right now is Booksmart, which
right.
calls back to that film. And there's you can see a lot of American Graffiti's DNA
yes.
in this film. So it's nice to kind of go back to not necessarily source material, but a right. chief inspiration for these contemporary
films.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think, you know, it's always as part of a film society, you want to see the origin of something. And of course, you know, film is over 100 years old. So, you know, what's old again is new again in some cases. but certainly I think this was a benchmark film in many, many ways. And we'll try to get into that in the discussion at the time of the presentation today.
That's the nice thing about Sunset Film Society is that it's not just you're sitting in a dark room right. watching a film. You get context and you get a lot of placement. And the next film in the series, Jaws.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
it's one of those films that has a boatload of context. Yeah. And no pun yeah. intended, I'm sorry.
Yeah, really, but they needed a bigger boat.
Yeah.
but you're right. Again, Steven Spielberg, you know, went out on a limb, literally, to finish this film because there were so many delays. You know, Bruce the Shark didn't work. And they had to resort to really what became such an effective opening, I think, by not showing him, but showing a POV mm-hmm. situation with him. And it became much better and grander, I think, for that reason. But this is a remarkable film that all, you know, he was, what, 25, 6 out. Years old at the time. And you have Roy Scheider and Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw and, you know, just a wonderful cast bringing this to reality.
And that John Williams score.
Oh, bob him.
and the thing that a lot of people kind of forget about Jaws was it was the one that kind of started yeah. the concept of the summer blockbuster.
Absolutely. And in many ways, though not really, not superficially, but if you dig deeper, I think that it actually is kind of a redo of Creature from the Black Lagoon. Hmm. You know, there's parts of it, I think, that Spielberg incorporated from that classic 50s film, and in fact, I think there was a point where the franchise, and there's have been, what, five different Jaws movies mm-hmm. or something now, at one point, which became, I think, Jaws 3D or something eventually, the third film, where there was talk, serious talk by Universal to do a remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon. Mm-hmm. I've seen the script. It would have been a decent film. And it's a beloved film from the 50s, still the best rubber monster suit, I think, in film history. But that didn't happen. But I think there are elements of it in Jaws. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what they say about literature and so forth, there's like five plots. And it's just a matter of how you incorporate them to make them original, you know, but they're all kind of basic five storylines.
Yeah.
And certainly this one was just not only a phenomenal success at the box office, but critically acclaimed, too. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, John Williams' score, you take that away from it, and it's not the same movie at all.
Yeah, yeah. So then after that, we have Grease, Weekend at Bernie's, and Stand By Me. Now, out of those three films, the one that piques my interest is Weekend at Bernie's. Mm-hmm. Why that one?
Well, I wanted to throw something a little different in there. It is kind of during the summer, mm-hmm. And it's black humor, and it's probably less seen of any of the other four, mm-hmm. But worth seeing. Probably will not appeal to everyone's tastes, but I think it will if you stick with it because there's a lot going on in it. Terry Kaiser as Bernie mm-hmm. is phenomenal. You know,
gets a laugh in every scene he's in.
Oh, man, I tell you, you know, for him to do that throughout the whole film, pretty much, yeah. except for the beginning, is pretty remarkable, actually. And I think highly underrated performance.
And for those not in the know, and it's not a spoiler at all.
No.
The titular character Bernie, played by Kaiser, is a corpse.
That's right.
For like 99% of the film.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And nobody seems to notice.
Yeah. Which the comedy.
Yeah. So I think that one, you get some, it'll be fun for you in a kind of sick and twisted way. But I think it's worth a view. And certainly, you know, we want everybody to experience all these films because mm-hmm. it broadens the education of film, I think.
So that kind of wonderfully leads me into my next question, which is, I think whenever people use the phrase classic film, mm-hmm. they think of black and white films from a bygone era, but I feel like
Casablanca.
Right. and I think now sort of the definition of it has changed considerably.
Yeah.
What to you is a classic film?
Well, I think probably in a kind of a loose term, it would be a film, no matter what age, that maybe endures and stands the test of time. Though, you know, some films that are classic are very much of their time. You know, you can still look back and you think, oh, well, that's kind of dated, but it's a wonderful film. Mm-hmm. And then there's other films, especially those set either in like a Western motif or a costume drama that aren't dated anyway because they were dated when they were made. You know, they mm-hmm. were so old, or the subject matter was, that you don't say, oh, well, you know, that's a 56 Chevy and blah, blah, blah. And I can pinpoint, you know, whatever the time frame that was in. You know, an example of a Western one would be, of course, you know, a Peckinpah film, mm-hmm. a Wild Bunch, or even George Stevens Shane, which also I think is very representative of enduring the eons of time that have passed. Other films, you know, that are more modern. And to me, you know, to me, the older I get, you know, the older the film, or the newer the film. In other words, E.T., for instance, in 1982, was deemed an instant classic when it came out, and it has remained so. I think, you know, it was Spielberg's little film that just blew all the records right out of the water at the time, and even, you know, unthrown Jaws and so forth. But there are films of quality that are being made. I think you have to kind of look either independent or lesser known films more than the big, you know, $100 million blockbusters to find them, because there may be a sense of newness in the way it's presented. And to me, I think, you know, a classic is, like I said, something that endures and something that each generation will find worthy of watching and learning from.
Mm-hmm. And always returning to them too. I think as we move forward as a culture, yeah, it's always nice to revisit them with a different lens. And
yeah, they require
them.
Multiple viewings sometimes. It's like an onion, you know, you peel away the mm-hmm. skin and you find more and more to enjoy and to take away from, rather than it's not all just surface.
Yeah. All right. My guest today is Jay Duncan, director of the Sunset Film Society. His June programming slate of summer films includes American Graffiti, Jaws, Grease, Weekend at Bernie's, and Stand By Me. Each film will screen at the International Museum of Art each Saturday at 2 p.m. American Graffiti screens today at 2 p.m. For more information, visit sunsetfilmsociety.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org, and On Film's producer is Seth Van Meter. Thank you for joining me.